Tonight we're going to be in Romans, Romans chapter and 14, and God willing, Creek Don't Rise, we'll finish chapter 14 here tonight. We got down to verse 12 last week in chapter 14 of Romans, and we want to go ahead and go on from there. Just to review a little bit, we had in chapter 10 of Romans, we're talking about the love that Jesus Christ gave us for one another, and that if we love one another, actually this is the fulfillment of the law. We love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and like unto this we love each other, love our neighbor as ourselves. And in these two commandments, all of the law and all the prophets are fulfilled. And it's a wonderful thing. And then we looked at the fact that actually from Romans 12 through the remaining chapters of Romans, it gives us practical ways how to do that. And so here in Romans chapter 14, we go on with that subject of looking at very down-to-earth practical ways to love one another. Now let's take a look at verse 13, where we left off last week. It says this, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if your brother be grieved with your meat, that is what you're eating, now walkest thou now charitably." You're not walking in love, actually, if your brother's grieved with what you're eating. "Destroy not him with your meat, for whom Christ died." Now, this exhortation has to do specifically with something that was going on in their society. And so to understand exactly what's being said here, we need to look at that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 8 really gives us the meat of this whole discussion, and I want to share that with you. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and how it is that we can be exercised in love by not eating something that offends our brothers. And this doesn't apply to us so much today, but then again, when you take a second look, it does. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now the situation of the day is simply this. There was different foods that were sacrificed to idols. And this was done in Corinth. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians now. And also through the ancient world, where people would offer sacrifices of different animals to false gods. And so many, especially in Corinth, had come out of that worship of demons, really, the other gods than the Lord, through sacrificing things to those demons. In Corinth, they came out of that to become Christians. But they still have this tenderness or guilt of getting anywhere near something that was sacrificed to an idol, to eat that thing, because they would have these big feasts and these orgies and stuff and bad things that they were saved from. And so that would remind them of all of that. And to make it more complicated, this meat that was sacrificed to idols at the temples of false gods was then sold for a cheaper price in what was known then as the shambles or the marketplace. So you could save a lot of money for your family if you'd buy the meat that was sacrificed to idols to eat. And it just made total sense economically to buy the cheaper meat. And only because it was sacrificed to an idol, not that it was bad or anything. So there were stronger Christians that just said, man, I'm just going to take advantage of this low-priced meat. It doesn't mean anything to me. I don't care if it was sacrificed to an idol. I know that there's no idols. There's no gods behind these idols. And so I'm just going to take advantage of the good price, man, and buy the cheap meat. Well, this turned out to be a stumbling block to some of the brothers that had come out of that worship of the idols. And that's just too close to home for what they were saved from. And so they would stumble over the fact that here's a brother in the Lord that's eating something that was sacrificed to an idol. And I can't handle that. And they would begin to be shaken in their faith and begin to be offended because that brother was eating the meat. And so the Apostle Paul here is using this as an example to show us how sensitive we need to be to our brothers. How's my brother feel about this? Is this causing my brother to stumble? And because if he then goes ahead and is strengthened to eat the meat that he knows in his heart that he shouldn't eat, then he is in danger of falling away from the Lord and going back into that life. So it's pretty tricky. But let's read chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians because it really makes it clear here. It says, now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge, but be careful of just having knowledge. The knowledge that it's just a piece of meat, man. Get over it. Knowledge puffs up, makes you prideful. I know something you don't know. You know, we said it as little kids. It's kind of a prideful thing. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And that's where we want to go, right? That's where we want to be. We want to be in the place of loving our brothers and sisters. So we go with the love. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Again, just reminding us the important thing is to love God and to love our neighbor. It's not other things that I know, that I can do, and you shouldn't be so stupid to think I can't and that kind of stuff. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commends us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, be careful, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see you, which have knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you sin so against your brothers, and wound their weak conscience. You sin against Christ. Therefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no more flesh while the world stands, lest I make my brother to offend. Wow, that's love. That's pure, unadulterated love. And so this is an encouragement to us to apply this to ourselves in a spiritual way. And there it is. Now this might not apply directly to us because we don't have the culture of the eating things sacrificed to idols, but there's other things that come into play in our society. And actually, that other thing is mentioned next in Romans. So let's go back to Romans chapter 14 now and go on to read. For it says here in verse 16, let not your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that a great verse? What the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what we'll be experiencing forever in heaven, and God wants to touch us with these things now, today. This is what the kingdom of God is about. Not in arguing over what I'm going to eat or not eat, or what I'm going to drink or not drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify or build up another. We ask each other, we ask ourselves, how can I build up my brother? I just want to build him up. I want to encourage him in the Lord. And I want him to feel accepted, because truly, God has accepted him. And the scripture says that we are accepted in the beloved. Oh man, for so many years, I just didn't feel like I could accept that verse, that I was accepted in the beloved. And when I ended up saying, I love you, God, then a lot of times I would end up by saying, I think, I'm not completely sure, I think I love you. You know, I was just in a kind of a miserable place for a while, until love breaks through and just tells us, you know what, you are accepted. You are accepted in the beloved. If you've opened your heart to Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You've given him your sin, he's given you his righteousness, and God loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ. That is such a great thing to know. I had one time in Bible study years ago, we had a group of girls when we first started Bible studies, high school girls, and this one sister said to me one night, she said, Mark, does God love me as much as he loves John the Baptist? And I didn't know the answer to that. I thought maybe he would love John the Baptist more than he loved our sister. I'm going to go find out. And I read the scriptures, and it's in the scriptures, in the prayer that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. Father, that the world might know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So the answer to that question is, God doesn't love you and me as much as he loves John the Baptist. He loves you and me as much as he loves Jesus Christ, his own son, because we are the children of God. That's just so awesome, isn't it? It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we'll be just like him. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And God loves us as much as he loves Jesus Christ. I know it's hard for you to believe. It was way hard for me to believe too. but we are accepted in the Beloved. It's as simple as that. And it's a glorious thing. Is it not, Brother Dennis? Hallelujah, man. Amen. And so there it is. Here we see that we're to edify one another with these truths, these Bible truths. Build each other up with these things. We don't tear each other down. We build each other up. Don't be a sin sniffer and a flesh finder. I'm going to find your sin, and I'm going to sniff out your flesh, you know. Don't do that. And get down on your brother. You let God do that. You spend your time edifying, building up your brother and sister in Christ. And wow, it is a blessed thing to be so accepted of one another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, and here's where it really can apply to us, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Oh my, it's just a crushing blow when there's offense over something that has to do with meat or drink. And this is a touchy subject in our society. There are lots of alcoholics in our society that have great problems in seeing others imbibing and taking in the alcohol. And they can be set off into stumbling and falling again if they see especially a religious leader tipping the glass. And the Lord made Sherry and I really, really mindful of that in the beginning of our walk when we were in our 20s, just how people knew we were Christians. They knew I was headed for the ministry, and man, we just can't drink in front of them because that gives them license, as it was said here about the meats and stuff, to just go ahead and party hardy. And some of them had alcohol problems and can go right down a terrible road of getting back into it because, well, my religious leader does it, so I can do it. So this for me and for Sherry has been a very serious subject that we would steer clear of any alcoholic beverage. Just one experience, Sherry and I went to a party right after she got saved when she was 21 years old and I was 20. She's just 9 months older than me. It's not a big older woman thing. It's only 9 months. Anyway, but we went to this party with some of my old buddies, and Sherry had a beer in her hand, and there was a girl there that was open to the testimony of Jesus. We had been to Sunday school that week. We were just so on fire for the Lord. And Sherry started sharing about Jesus to this girl at this party. And this girl got really upset and was looking at Sherry in the face and said, "So, you can be a Christian and you can drink at this party." And there was nothing that Sherry could say, because she had a beer in her hand. And she just looked at it and went like that. And the girl gave her the dirtiest look ever and just turned around and walked away. That girl was truly stumbled that Sherry was drinking that beer. And so she never, ever touched anything after that again. It just wasn't right to stumble somebody by that. So this is something to consider. Now, I want to tell you a story that's a true story of a really good friend that's a very good musician. And he and his wife used to sing for Pastor Chuck's church and go to the sunrise services every year at the amphitheater and do the songs for Pastor Chuck. And then Pastor Chuck would have them you know, serve at all three services sometimes down there at Costa Mesa. Well, they were out for dinner one night, and they actually order wine before dinner sometimes, and so they were drinking the wine, and a 7-year-old girl happened to be there with her mom celebrating her birthday. And she looked at her mom and said, "Mommy, is that so-and-so and so-and-so?" And they're drinking wine. And it stumbled that little 7-year-old girl. And so the 7-year-old girl, along with her mom, wrote a letter to Pastor Chuck to tell him, you know, that this famous couple that always sang with him was drinking wine, and it made the little girl stumble. So Pastor Chuck called my good friend in to the office, and he said, "Can you promise me that you'll never drink in public again so that you can continue your very visible ministry with us?" And he said, "You know, I really can't, because we do that. It's part of our life." And so my friend went away just really, really bitter with Pastor Chuck for saying that to him and taking his ministry away. So then, years later, he was down at the San Clemente Pier and he saw Chuck Jr., Pastor Chuck's son. And they went out to lunch together because they'd known each other from past years in the ministry. And he told the whole story to Chuck Jr. because he'd been bitter for so long that it was just dragging him down. He was bitter at Chuck. And so neat, because Pastor Chuck's son, Chuck Jr., looked at him and said, "Welcome to sonship. That's the way our dad treated us, in a very strict way, because of the ministry and because of stumbling little kids and people that really stumble. It's really important to the Lord." And my friend, man, he said he went away from there just totally. The bitterness was gone. He's just loving Pastor Chuck again because he felt like he was treated more than just a parishioner or a member of the congregation, but somebody that Chuck looked to as a son through talking to Pastor Chuck's son. I thought that was so cool. And it was kind of the end of the story for me and for my friend. And just a kind of a testimony to describe what's at stake here. You know, what the Lord's talking about. Love is the most important thing. And if I'm doing something that's going to stumble my brother or my sister or a 7-year-old girl, later days with that man, that's out the door. You know, as the Apostle Paul said there at the end of 1 Corinthians, if what I eat is stumbling my brother, I won't eat meat as long as the world stands. You know, it's just a love thing. It's just a love thing. And so there it is. For us, our family, after some of these things happened and we got this lesson deep in our heart, then the Lord actually gave us a family in the Old Testament to identify with. And I just love this. And I want to share it with you tonight. Let's just go ahead to Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. Now, Jeremiah is right past Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 35 in the Old Testament. There's this family that decided to pass on the heritage of just not drinking. And that's what God gave us. I'm just sharing from my own personal heart now. Because remember, we're looking at a chapter in the Bible that applies in a very personal way to every person in a different way. So anyway, let's look at chapter 35 of Jeremiah and verses 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go into the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Now, it's kind of a strange command there, you would think, but the Lord just told Jeremiah, just bring a mess of wine to offer to the Rechabites. And actually, it turns out that God's showing Jeremiah something through this. So let's go to verse 5 of Jeremiah 35. And it says, Jeremiah's writing here, he says, I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots of full of wine and cups. And I said to them, drink, drink the wine. And they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, neither you nor your sons forever. Now let's go to verse 14. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you listen not to me. So the Lord uses the Rechabites as an example of somebody that obeyed their father. But the Lord is upset with the people because they're not obeying him, the Heavenly Father. So he's using them as an example. And then if we go to verses 18 and 19, it says, And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he has commanded you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. That God said, I am blessing this family and blessing these people because they've made a decision and they're sticking to it. And that's what I want you guys to do, is to listen to me as your father. And so this story really moved me and moved Sherry, moved our family to really pass this on to our sons. And may I say that our sons don't drink. They just don't. And they're all very influential for the Lord Jesus Christ in making that decision and following him. So we're very blessed with this in our own family. And of course, God will show you what to do, but that's for us. And we're really, really happy with that. Now, with that, let's go back to Romans and get kind of a balance to this. Let's go back to Romans. Romans and chapter 14. And now, here then, in verse 22, it says, Hast thou faith? Some can have a glass of wine before dinner, and it doesn't bother them at all. And they never get drunk with it. They just have a glass of wine. The scripture says, Be not drunk with wine where in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the sin would be in the drunkenness, not in, like, taking a glass of wine. So, hast thou faith? Have it to yourself before God. Make sure that you're not stumbling anybody with your freedom. And that's what he is saying here. Happy is he that condemns not himself in that which he allows. Now, this is the real important part here. Now, the happy goes back up to verse 17, the definition of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so the Lord wants you to be happy in that sense. not like a worldly happiness, but a joy, a peace and a joy, happiness. Happy is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, or walks in the way of sinners. There's a happiness that's God's happiness. It's the peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, and that's what the kingdom of God is about. And so he says, happy is he that condemns not himself in that thing which he allows. If a person has thought in his mind, in his heart, there's nothing wrong with this in my life, and I'm going to go ahead and drink beer because it's okay. And the Lord is saying here, if you've got that kind of faith and you know that this will stumble others, just do it in private. But if you have in your conscience something telling you that this isn't right, then you shouldn't do it, because you won't be truly happy in the Lord. He wants you to have joy and peace. And so he says, happy is he that condemns not himself in that which he allows. It's simple. If I'm allowing something to be in my life because I feel this is okay for me and it's not hurting anybody, then is your conscience clear on it? Or are you condemning yourself for doing it? And if you're condemning yourself for doing it, then you need to look at it again. That somehow this is not good for you and it's going to lead to bad places. Can you see what that's saying? Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in that which he allows. And he that doubts is, well, there's a heavy word here in the King James. It says is damned. Now, I don't believe you're going to go to hell for having wine before dinner, you know. But it says, and he that doubts is condemned if he eats. Because you'll be condemning yourself, the devil will be condemning you, and you will feel condemned. He that doubts is condemned if he eats, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's sin. Because I can't say, Jesus is okay with this in my life. So there it is. And you know, this to me is one of the deeper chapters, you know, in the book of Romans. Of course, all of Romans is a big theological outlay to us through the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit. It's all scriptures given by inspiration of God to just lay out to us kind of the rules, you know, and the way to be really happy in this life. He came to give us life, and that more abundantly. Another translation of that is he's come to give us life until it overflows. And so he wants that for us. He wants us to be like little children, just happy, bubbly children about our relationship with him and the things we allow in our lives. And so it gets a little fuzzy here as we're having these balances, because we're all different. Man, we're just so different. I can really see why the Lord would be really strict with Sherry and I and with our boys, because we're a ministry-minded family. We're sold out to bring people to Jesus and to be a good example to the people. And he's called us to be pastors. Each one of my sons are pastors. And so that's the way it is, you know. No booze, dude. It's pretty easy, you know, to understand. So there are others, and I don't know if you might be one of them, that it's okay, you know, that you do that. But be sure it's okay with the Lord, because it could really lead to something devastating for your life if it's not. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And so there it is. It's a pretty serious thing, because it the Lord knows where things lead. And so there it is. My goodness. I went through this really fast tonight, and I'm done. I don't have any more to say, but it's only 8 o'clock. So let's pray. And maybe you could sing like 3 songs instead. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for these scriptures. And, Lord, we thank you that you care to just do your work in every heart. Lord, we need to know what you're thinking for our everyday habits. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, for sharing with us individually through your most awesome gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to show us how to love, Lord. Show us how to act. Show us how to be, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would give liberty where you desire to give liberty to each one. And Lord God, show us where to be sensitive to others. And Lord, help us to just know your plan for each one of us. And we thank you, Father, and we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. If you would need a prayer for anything tonight, the prayer room's open for you. Dan will be in there to pray for you, pray with you. And may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and give you his peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.